Hello and welcome to the Beach House 34 podcast. I'm your host, Christine Wirth. A warm welcome to all the new subscribers and a huge thank you to all of the loyal listeners. I am so appreciative of all of you. Before we get started, this episode is a continuing series on the trial readings for the Darlie Routier case. Now, the Darlie Routier case, if you're not familiar with it, was about a mother who, in 1996, was accused and convicted of murdering her two children in Rowlett, Texas. And Darlie currently sits on death row. The case, however, is not as cut and dried as you might think it is. And if you're interested in hearing the true crime episode about the case itself, you can find that in episode number 33, and I will have the link for you below in the show notes. That episode, number 33, will definitely leave you scratching your head about a few things. Now, as soon as the trial readings are all finished, I'll be back to doing weekly true crime and paranormal cases. And until then, let's continue with the trial readings for the Darlie Routier trial. And today we are going to hear from Judith Floyd, who is a forensic lab supervisor at Gene Screen in Dallas, Texas. So Judith Floyd's testimony is a little bit different. It actually ends up beginning at the end of Charles Lynch's testimony. And what the judge has done is they have dismissed the jury and tells them that they will see them tomorrow at 1:15. And then at this point, the court then says, Mr. Davis, you can call your next witness, please. We will go ahead and have the hearing. And then at this point, Ms. Floyd is asked to come up to the stand and asked to raise her right hand, which she does, and she is sworn in. And the court says, you know, do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? And the witness says, I do. The court says, all right, ma'am, you're now under the rule of evidence. Do you understand what that means? It simply means you have to remain outside the courtroom when you are not testifying. Don't talk to anybody who is testifying about your testimony. In other words, don't compare it. You may talk to the attorneys for either side. If someone tries to talk to you about your testimony, tell the attorney for the side who called you. If you will just speak right into that microphone loudly, please, ma'am, and spell your last name when you're asked. Go ahead, Mr. Davis. And these proceedings are being held, again, outside the presence of the jury, and all parties at the trial are present. And then the judge says, go ahead, please. Mr. Greg Davis starts. Just so I can shorten this down and get right to the point here, we are talking about the T-shirt. Is that what you would like for me to talk about? And Mr. Mosty says, yes, there is one other thing, which is just a matter of, I don't know if they want to do it. We have always been somewhat confused about the numbering sequence. If y'all can either give us some reports or cover some of that, it would speed things up tomorrow. And the court says, okay, so the purpose of the hearing is the chain of custody on the T-shirt. And Mr. Mosty, who is with the defense, says, yes, that is it. The court says, all right, let's get right to the point. And Mr. Greg Davis says, yes, sir. And then Mr. Greg Davis, at this point, begins his questioning. Miss Floyd, your name is Judy Floyd, is that right? Judith, that's correct. All right, and you work for Gene Screen, is that right? That's correct. Did you receive certain blood samples from Swift's personnel regarding a T-shirt shown here in State's Exhibits 120 and 121? Yes, I did. Okay. Did you receive those from Charles Lynch? I received some from Charles Lynch and some cuttings from Carolyn Van Winkle. Okay. And prior to your testifying today, did I have you go through the dots here and the blood samples shown on the front and back of this T-shirt? And did you initial the dots or the samples that you yourself tested at Gene Screen? Yes, I did. Okay. And did you also verify the results shown on the board, the coloring, to make sure that they matched with your results? For instance, what we show as a green dot, that being the blood of Darlie Routier, for instance, shown in D-6. Did you go back through your reports to verify that that, in fact, is the result that you gathered through your DNA analysis? Yes, sir. All right. Now, the D samples, then, you tested, you have also tested samples that are listed with Ls. Is that right? That's correct. All right. You have also tested samples, the T samples beginning with T up, right? That's right. And you also tested the LS samples. Is that also correct? I believe that's correct. Well, let me just ask you, do you have right now, do you have a method by which you could refer to these samples and then give your numbers or some sort of method so that the other side can track what we're talking about here? So that as we talk about these, they can refer to a report that you have issued or findings that you have gathered, so that when I talk about L2, for instance, that you can look at that one and then you can look at your number. Do you have that? Yes, sir. Okay. If we could, let's just start kind of, I guess, backwards. But let's talk about the D samples, D1 through 14. D1 through D14? Right. And those, will they be shown on your report of January the 8th, 1997? January the 7th of 1997. Okay, right. And will they be shown on page 2, down there at the bottom, where it says T-shirt cuttings, D1 through D14? They are also on page 1 at the bottom. Right. Those are the cutting T-shirt cuttings hand-delivered to Judith Floyd by Charles Lynch on December 20th, 1996. Is that right? That's correct. And those numbers would then be 1879 through 9010. Is that right? That's correct. 9010 includes all 14 of the cuttings. All of those results are similar, correct? They are all Darlie Routier? That's correct. All right. Let's go back, if we can then, and we have handled the Ds. Let's just go to the T samples, T8 through T15. I believe those will be the first samples that you obtained, right? Actually, I have the L samples before the T samples. All right. That would be L2, L3, L4, L6, and L10. Okay. And those corresponding numbers would be 4942, right? That's correct. That will be on your report of December 2nd, 1996. Is that right? That's right. It will also be on the front page. Is that right also? Yes. Where it says T-shirt stain, blood stain, D1S80, type of 2425, possible contributor to Darlie Routier, correct? Correct. In general, those will be the stains that we see on the right, upper right portion of the T-shirt, right? That's right. Okay. So we've done the Ds and we have done the Ls. Next, on the same report of December 2nd, 1996, do we have the Ts? We have T8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15. Is that right? That's correct. Those are shown here on the diagram. Will they also have the corresponding number of 4972? Yes. Now, the numbers that follow that 4972, T8R, T9R, T10R, T11R, and T10R, what do those numbers represent? Are those repeats of the T8, 9, 10, and 11? Is that correct? That's correct. The R is just simply your designation for the fact that you repeated that test at GeneScreen. Is that right? Right. Yes, sir. Okay. All right. The stains that are marked up here as LSs, will we see that on your report of January 7th, 1997? I believe that's correct, but let me cross-reference to the chain of custody. Okay. Yes, that's correct. Okay. So for instance, L1, will that be your sample 505, 6, or 57? 5057. Okay. And then LS2, then, will be 5058. Is that right? That's correct. Then LS3 will be 5059, right? That's right. 5060 would have been LS4, but you didn't report out a result on that one, right? That's right. Now, those LSs, 5057, 5058, and 5059, how did you obtain those? Were they also from Charlie Lynch? Also from Charlie Lynch. Did he hand deliver those to you also? Yes, he did. Okay. As I understood it, D1 through D14 were hand delivered by Charlie Lynch also. Is that right? That's correct. How about the L samples? 4942, L2 through L10. How did you obtain those? 4942 samples were also hand delivered by Charles Lynch. The 4972, T8 through T15, how did you obtain those samples? 4972 samples were hand-delivered by Carolyn Van Winkle. All right, and Carolyn Van Winkle is here in Kerrville, correct? That's correct. Has she been down here to the courtroom with you most of the day? Yes, she has. All right. There was one other stain up here that we have identified as a TB3I. And that particular specimen is our number 5056. Okay, I see. That is going to be on the January 7th, 97 report, right? That's correct. This is TB3I. Okay, that is the one shown on January 7th of 1997 with the contributor being Darley Routier, correct? Correct. Okay, how did you obtain that sample? Was that also hand-delivered by Charles Lynch? Yes, that's correct. Have we now covered all of the samples that you obtained that you tested on this shirt where you got a result? Yes, we have. Mr. Greg Davis says, okay, those will be the questions regarding the t-shirt that we're going to go over in general tomorrow in front of the jury. The court says, okay, do you have the numbering system straightened out? Mr. Davis says, yes, sir. The court says, all right. And then the cross-examination is begun by Mr. Richard Mosty. There are only two reports, December 2nd and January 7th. That's correct. And all of those are reflected on. Mr. Mosty then turns and says, what is that number, Greg? Or all of the ones you are going to testify about? And Mr. Greg Davis says, they are going to be on State's Exhibit 120 and 121. She has already initialed those samples. Mr. Mosty then says, I think if we need to clarify anything else, we can look at that and get it done. Mr. Davis says, okay. And the court says, all right. Any further questions for this witness for the purpose of this hearing? And Mr. Mosty says, we don't have any questions. And Mr. Greg Davis says, no, sir. And the court says, all right. Then for the purpose of this hearing, the chain of custody is deemed satisfactory. Is that correct? And Mr. Hagler says, no, Your Honor. The court, oh, it is not? Well, let's have the objections. Mr. Greg Davis says, could this witness go ahead and step down? The court says, the witness may step down. Yes, thank you very much. You may step down, ma'am. All right. Watch yourself up there. Go back in the witness room. Thank you. All right. Mr. Hagler. Mr. John Hagler, again, he's of the defense team, says, Your Honor, as far as the offer of these various exhibits, as the court knows, the t-shirt itself, State's Exhibit number 25, was earlier offered and admitted into evidence over our objection, by the way, as to the chain of custody. And there has been as the court will recall, that witness, and this is something wrong in the testimony, was offered through the witness of a paramedic named Byford. The court says, yes, sir. Mr. Hagler continues. Now, the testimony will show that after Byford had the shirt, another paramedic or medical person by the name of Zimmerman had it. He has not been called as a witness by the state. And furthermore, there apparently, we pick up again as far as the shirt and various exhibits through Catherine Long, who is the serologist. But as far as what happened to the shirt, where it's been, the condition it has been in, and what have you, there is no testimony as to that. I might also point out to the court that there has already been testimony presented during this trial that the shirt is in this bag, in this paper bag, and there is blood at the bottom of the bag. Now, at this point in time, it picks up with the testimony of Catherine Long. And now we discover also that there is apparently another witness by the name of Carolyn Van Winkle, who, although may be present and may have been present during portions of the trial, has not testified at the present time in this trial or before the court. Now, the state at this time is making the offer, and just to make it easy, we're going to object to the offer of any and all exhibits obtained from the state's exhibit number 25, including, but not limited to, the D1 through 14, which is the Lynch exhibits, the L2, I think it's L2 through 10, or perhaps it's 2, 3, 6, and 10, the T exhibits, 8 through, I believe there are two of them. These are the ones that were testified to by Catherine Long. Let's put it this way. It's going to be T1 through T15. And also the TR, which is apparently the retest exhibits, and also all of the LS exhibits. The exhibits, I didn't catch all the numbers, but the ones that were just testified to regarding the Carolyn Van Winkle exhibits, which may have been the TB exhibits. And finally, the TB3I exhibit. Again, we are just going to object to all of them. The reason why we are, Your Honor, is again, they have gotten this shirt up to Byford, and all of a sudden, they have not called, apparently, for reasons unknown to us, they do not want to call Zimmerman or any of these other links in the chain to establish the condition of the shirt, how it was packaged, how it was transported, how it was folded, and what have you. The reason why this is going to be significant, and I'm sure the court realizes this, is that the position of these bloodstains on the shirt are going to, that the position will be important, and that the state's going to argue to this court and to this jury that as being important evidence. The fact of the matter is, and again, there has already been a lot of testimony presented that we have no idea of knowing how these bloodstains got where they were. And again, there is voluminous evidence showing that there has been, that the shirt was in the bag. We don't know the conditions or how the stains got to where they were. Now, the court knows, of course, that normally a chain of custody is going to go to the weight rather than the admissibility. However, if there has been any showing of any type of tampering or any indication that there could be commingling or contamination of the exhibits, then we enter a different area. In this case, there has been. There are missing links in the chain. And furthermore, the evidence itself shows that there has been contamination of the exhibit. Now, as a result, the state has failed to carry its burden of showing that the exhibits that they now intend to offer through this witness are uncontaminated and that they are in the same condition as they were at the time the shirt was originally taken, which they have failed to do. And we would vigorously urge the court that they simply failed to carry their burden under Rule 901A. The court says, all right, thank you, objection overruled, and you will not have to object before the jury. You can have a running objection. Is that what you want, a running objection? Yes, Your Honor. The court says, all right, thank you, you may have it. Anything else? Mr. Hagler then says, well, in addition, this evidence is apparently going to come in, obviously, with the court's ruling, and this is going to affect the testimony of their latter expert witnesses. So, and we can reach this at a later point if you would like, but again, it's going to affect their ability to testify as to their opinions as to how blood got there, etc., and various expert opinions and conclusions. Well, so anyway, we will re-urge that, but as far as admissibility of the exhibits, we would ask for a running objection. The court says you can have a running objection, okay? Mr. Mosty then says, there is one other thing that we need to take up. The court says, okay. And Mr. Mosty says, I understand Mr. Bevel was in during the lunch hour taking photographs, and we wondered when we could have the opportunity to look at those. The court says, well, Mr. Greg Davis then says, what he did was he took photographs of these boards here of State's Exhibits 120, 121, and also 122. My understanding is that is all he took photographs of. So he could, instead of taking the boards back to his hotel this evening. Mr. Mosty says, it is not something you are going to offer into evidence. Mr. Greg Davis says, no, it was just for his purpose. But if for some reason, I think I'm going to offer them for any reason, I will let you know before I mention that before the jury. The court says, okay, anything else? Mr. Hagler says, the only thing, again, we are going to object to Bevel's testimony. We are going to need a hearing on that. The court says, okay. Mr. Hagler says, at the appropriate time. The court says, okay, let's cross all these bridges when we come to them. If we can telescope these hearings, I think that would be worthwhile. Mr. Mulder says, let's find out if we're still on track to finish Wednesday. The court says, well, so far as I know, Mr. Davis. Mr. Davis then says, yes. The court says, we're right on track. Mr. Greg Davis says, I think we are. I think it's still possible. The court says, well, then we will get it on then. Mr. Davis says, this is what we're shooting for. And the court says, all right. Ladies and gentlemen in the spectator audience, if you can clear the courtroom briefly, please. Thank you. And then that actually concludes this day of testimony, which was actually on January 20th of 1997. Now, this was, again, outside of the jury. So there's really not a whole lot going on in this particular episode, other than everybody trying to correlate their numbers and the defense making their argument that, you know, look, and this Zimmerman name, I'm sure you were curious about that. That has come up way at the beginning, way at the when the testimony first began, because this Zimmerman person somewhere along the way did have or was in contact with this t-shirt, and nobody has ever called this person. He's not been called to the stand, nothing. There's been nothing from this guy. So the defense is like, look, you know, there's no way to prove this chain of custody. And they make their argument, and the court just, again, as usual, overrules it. And so they're going to go ahead with all this testimony about the testing on this t-shirt that doesn't have a decent, credible chain of custody to it. So take that for what you will. The next day and the next episode will be Robert Poole. And this is on January 21st of 1997. He begins the day, and then Judith Floyd is then back on the stand for her testimony. And then we do hear then from Carolyn Van Winkle in a further episode, just right after Judith Floyd. So anyway, that'll do it for this episode. I know it was really short, but thank you for hanging in there, and thank you for listening. I appreciate all of you, and I will talk again really soon, and we will cover Robert Poole.